The Bible describes that Joseph, in verse 4, went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, who was his betrothed wife. She was with child. So it was that while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. The Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. The Bible says in verse 8, and now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And the Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.'" Verse 22 declares, when the days of her purification, I'm sorry, verse 21, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. I want to preach to you from the subject titled Jesus. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intentions. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The purpose of the word is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. So, Lord, come. Speak a word in this place. Don't tickle our ears. Don't give us something stale, but let it be fresh revelation, fresh rain to our ears, to our hearts. Speak a word, God, that will give us the fuel that we need to go after what you told us to go after. Speak a word, God, that encourages every heart. Speak a word that disrupts the activity of our adversary. Speak a word, God, that heals, that delivers, that sets free. When we hear this word, Father, may we be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Anoint our ears to hear it, touch our hearts so we're open to receive it. In short, God, have your way. This is your house. I am convinced that if you ain't in it, it ain't working. Do what only you can do, God. But let your presence fill this room as we declare the word you've given us. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. It's Christmas, come on. Smile. you got gold teeth, smile bright. Whatever you got, smile, baby. Look at your neighbor and say, you're closer than you think. You're closer. Find somebody on the other side of you before you sit down. Look at them and say, you're closer than you think. You're closer. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to get us there, and I want to do it. I'm trying to give you a gift of getting you out early. Psych, I'm just playing. I'm joking. I don't know. The story of Jesus' birth astounds me because you would think that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would come in grand fashion. And you would think that he would come with a pomp and circumstance that really should be a part of him coming into any room. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, he shows up in one of the most unusual places one could show up. He shows up in a manger inside of a stable, which was really in the lower level of somebody's house where they kept their animals. It was almost as if he was in a basement or in a cave somewhere. He did not come and show up and be birthed out at Johns Hopkins. He was not birthed out at the Four Seasons. He was not birthed out at the Ritz-Carlton. He was birthed out in the lower level of a house where somebody kept their animals because they could not find anywhere to stay. The reason why they couldn't find anywhere to stay was not because Joseph was broke. It wasn't because he wasn't able to provide for his family. The Bible lets you know he was of the lineage of David. So he had a rich heritage, and he was literally a man that was well off. This is why it was such a scandal when he took Mary to be his wife and then found out that they were betrothed, meaning that they were engaged. And back then in that culture, being engaged was just as much as being married. And so the dowries have already been exchanged and she was going to be his, but now all of a sudden she's pregnant. She's pregnant and he has to save face, and the Lord has to show up to Joseph and tell Joseph what just happened to Mary. I did it. Hey, I wish I had somebody in here. You talk about trusting the Lord. And he has to believe and he has to know and trust God that Mary is carrying something so powerful that is not of this world, that it could only come from God, being inspired of the Holy Spirit. And so he gives her instruction, as he gives Mary instruction, that you're going to have this child and it's going to be done by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to have this child and his name is going to be called Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so Joseph has to buy in, and now there's this census that the Roman Empire makes, that everybody has to go and be counted so that they can tax people properly. And to go and be counted, you have to go back to the land of your fathers. You have to go back to your homeland. And so they have to go back to Bethlehem. Somebody shout Bethlehem, Bethlehem. They're going back to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the house of bread. Bethlehem is the place of resources. Bethlehem is the place of provision. Bethlehem was called the city of David. Bethlehem was the same place that Ruth showed up with Naomi to meet Boaz that would produce David in the first place. Bethlehem was the same location and the same place where Abraham, if you will, was going to be able to sacrifice Isaac. You have to understand that God has a designated place where your purpose is going to be produced, and he always has a way of bringing you to that designated place. Look at your name and say, God's got a place for you. Come on here. God's got a place for you. I need you to get that way deep down in your spirit, because God is about to cause you to stand perpendicular to your purpose. In other words, you're not going to walk into 2018 staggering in and stumbling in. You're going to walk in being steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You're going to have 2 feet perfectly squared with your shoulders correctly centered and focus on what you need to do. And when the winds blow and when the storms rage, you are not going to be moved, because you know God has put you in the place where your purpose can be produced. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to be moved this year. Oh, I don't know who I'm preaching to already, But somebody needs to get this reconciled in their heart that right now, before 2018 even comes into being, that you are not going to be moved regardless of what comes your way. What God told you is going to happen, and you're going to put one foot in front of the other until you see it in real time. Oh, God, I feel this thing. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, God is refueling your faith right now. Oh, somebody needs a recharge. Somebody needs a reboot. Somebody needs a recovery of what God told them. And you need to remember what he promised you, because he that has begun it. Yeah. Do me a quick favor. Y'all turn my microphone up. Do me a quick favor and touch your neighbor and say, this touch is a recharge, baby. It's a recharge of everything God told you. It's a reboost of the purpose that God put down in your spirit. This touch is a recharge. Charge your spirit back up. Get your faith focused one more time. Oh, come on, somebody. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself. Yo, God. I hope everybody got touched. If you didn't get touched, just reach out and touch somebody. Say, ain't nobody touch me. I need a charge. It's nothing like operating on a low battery. You need a charge. Plug in. God, I'm preaching right now. Plug into your purpose. Plug into the vision God has given you. Oh, you better do it right now. You can't wait. You gotta do it right. Now look at your name and say, are you plugged in? Joseph is plugged in. He's so plugged in that he is traveling with his future wife who is pregnant, and he's okay with it. It takes a man of great purpose, vision, and focus to wed a woman who was already pregnant. Y'all just missed that because you're in the flesh. Husbands, if you're married to a woman, she was already pregnant before you married her. She had a purpose down on the inside of her spirit. That's why God gave her to you. If you would unlock her purpose, you would get blessed. That's why the Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a and obtains favor. See, you think it's a scandal because Joseph is marrying Mary while she's already pregnant, but truth be told, so did you. God put purpose down on the inside of every woman in this room. And guess what, baby? I said it last time, I'm going to say it again because I feel the need to say it. I'm going to look square in the camera right on Facebook Live and tell somebody, you ain't got to be married to fulfill the purpose that God has given you. You can step out into your purpose all by yourself. Oh, the devil is a liar. Oh, I don't know who am I talking to, but you got to release yourself from all the toxic relationships that you have had in your past. I'm talking to somebody right now. Look at somebody and say, you got to let it go, baby. You got to let it go. God, I got to get off of it. But touch somebody and say, baby, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. I don't know why I'm walking in unforgiveness depletes you of your energy. And it doesn't release the plane to refuel you in midair while you're in purpose. So you're coasting on fumes and you're about to crash. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to drop some weight, baby. I'm talking to somebody in here. I'm about to drop some weight so I can get to an altitude to get refueled and keep it stepping to go where I need to go. God, I'm dropping everything that needs to be dropped right here in 2017 so I'm not carrying any dead weight with me in God, who am I talking to? I gotta get back on the tech. I'm sorry. I gotta get back on the tech. So Joseph is a strong man to be able to do this, and so he takes his wife and they're going to Bethlehem. You might not know the place, but the place knows you. You might not know where you're going, but where you're going knows you're coming. I'm gonna say that one more time. You might not know where you're going, but where you're going is preparing for you coming. Woo! God, Jesus, I felt that thing down my spirit. Slap your name and say, I'm on my way, baby. See, your destination is getting ready for you. God, I feel this thing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Y'all sit down. Let me preach. Woo! Oh, God. Did you hear what I just said? Your purpose and your destiny is preparing for you to show up, and it's putting everything in place, the people, the resources, and everything you need to get accomplished what you got to get done when you get there. Now, here's the kicker. When you show up, it's not going to look like you want it to look. Joseph is going back to his father's country, and no one has run for him. You were shouting a second ago. He's going back to his father's country, and no one has run for him. Everybody saw him grow up. Everybody know who he is. Everybody know he has the lineage of royalty in his blood. But he can't find no room. All the ends are closed. All his peeps are saying, there's nowhere for you to stay. Because when God moves you out of your comfort zone, he's moving you out of your normalized circle. And the people that you used to roll with are supposed to tell you you can't roll with them no more. You're trying to sustain relationships that God is trying to break you out of. And you're frustrated and upset that they don't have no room for you. They're not supposed to have room for you. Because where you're going is not where they are. Oh, stop being frustrated because you don't fit in. You're not supposed to fit in. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody up in here. Slap your name and say, I'm a misfit, baby. I'm a misfit. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I feel it. Let me preach. All right. I'm sorry. I got something. Where am I at? Here we go. You have to stop being frustrated with circles that you have outgrown. You're getting upset because you're going back to where you came from. God is bringing you full circle back to the place of purpose, because the place of purpose is always the full circle. God always brings you back to where you started. You don't hear what I'm saying. Where you started looks ugly and you never want to go back. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't want to go back because you're reminded of what happened when you were there. I can only imagine Joseph in the harbor of Joseph going, man, what if they tell that story? What if they talk about this? What if they say, when I was a little kid, I did X, Y, and Z? That's why you want to go back. But God shut the doors, you don't hear what I'm saying, on the places he could have stayed so that he wasn't reminded, you don't hear what I'm saying, of what happened in this life or what took place in this life or what happened when and where, because something new was about to transpire. And so now the only place for them to be is in the basement of somebody's home where they keep their animals. And the Savior of the world is going to be birthed in this place. It often looks like when God takes you to the place doesn't look like what you thought it would be. You thought you was going to the Four Seasons. You thought you was going to the MGM Grand in Vegas or the Bellagio. You thought you was going somewhere so phenomenal, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a basement. You have to understand the birthing room is always ugly. But the birthing room is not an indicator of the level of blessing that you are going to have and what you are carrying. Just because it was birthed in an ugly place don't mean it's going to be blessed in an ugly place. You have to understand that the blessing can also take place right in the ugly place of the birth, because God can send resources from afar to an ugly location that nobody really knows about. You don't hear what I'm saying? That wise men have to come from the Far East to bless you in the ugly place of birth. Wise men come, shepherds come, and they bring their gifts to this ugly place. And the ugly place always feels like, watch me now, the nowhere between two somewheres. It always feels like you're there, but you're not there. And so it brings this unwelcome reality. It's unwelcome because you really do not want to face up to the fact that you got your future bride in a basement. That what God promised you is about to be birthed out in a basement. You can call it what you want. Basement, barn, cave, they all the same. It's not suitable or sustainable for you to live in. Yeah, God. Oh, I wish I had some help. The thing I love about the text is that it only seems to me that Joseph is in denial. But Mary is on a deeper level of knowing what's about to happen. She knows she's about to deliver this day. Watch me, don't worry, I'm gonna get you there. The reason that she knows she's about to deliver this thing is because the Bible says when Jesus was born, she wrapped him in swaddling cloth. Swaddling cloth is not something that you just can find anywhere. Moreover, they were already in a basement fit for animals, so where were they going to get swaddling cloth from? It means that Mary was traveling with the swaddling cloth, knowing that she was about to produce the promise that God had given her, and she was going to make sure it was going to grow correctly when it was born. When you use swaddling cloth, the reason you wrap your babies when they're born is so that their limbs grow straight. Mary was going to make sure that what God promised her was going to have straight limbs so that when the proper age came, he would be able to stand perpendicular to his purpose. Slap your neighbor and say, are you carrying your swaddling cloth? I wish I had somebody in here. Are you carrying the tools that you need to wrap around the thing that God promised you? Mary was living in anticipation. Joseph was living in anxiety. Look at your name and say, you got to live in anticipation. You got to live. Oh, God. Joseph was living in anxiety because he was going from room to room and from house to house. And they were telling him, there's nowhere for you to stay. You can't stay here. And I can only imagine in my prophetic imagination, because I wasn't there, that Joseph was panicking a little bit and he was a little bit embarrassed that he had his wife to be traveling with him to Bethlehem. But what he does not know is that the place that he was going was preparing for him, and he did not realize it. He thought he had to prepare. My God, to go to a place, but the place was already being prepared for him. When he got there, he didn't like how it looked. So God shut every door to get you to the place. Oh, God, you don't hear what I'm saying. Because if you had your choice, you would not have stayed there. Mary is living in anticipation, and she don't care where she births out the thing, because she knows as long as it gets birthed out, everything's gonna be okay. Are you getting this here? Let me give you a couple tools, and then we're gonna have church a little bit. Watch this. And so Joseph has this denial. Denial equals delay. Denial will always equal delay. If you deny your reality, you will delay your purpose. You cannot, Lord have mercy, you cannot be in the gap between two somewheres, where you are and where God said you should be, and not be real. Look at your name and say, it is what it is, boo. You cannot be in this gap. And this gap is a distance between your current reality, where you are, and your desired reality, where you want to be. And that sounds simple enough, right? But when your sense of current reality is skewed and your desired destination is farther off than you think, life gets real complicated. Destination matters, but so does distance. Stay with me. I got to teach you this thing. If we took a virtual trip to Bethlehem from where they came from, Nazareth, where he would eventually grow up, but it had to be birthed in Bethlehem. Stay with me. Ultimately, for him to serve his purpose in Galilee. So it started out in Nazareth, but he had to leave and go to Bethlehem, then was born in Bethlehem, and had to wait 8 days to be circumcised, counted, and registered, and then leave to go back to Nazareth. You don't hear what I'm saying. Only to start his ministry in Galilee. When he starts his ministry in Galilee, he goes back to Nazareth. You don't hear what I'm saying. He goes back to where it all started. And when he gets there, I'm speaking to Jesus, and when he gets there, they say, isn't it Joseph, boy? You don't hear what I'm saying. Jesus is facing the reality of where he comes from. Joseph is denying the reality of the situation. Mary is anticipating the birth of what God gave her. Joseph is panicking, going door to door. And every door he goes to, God shuts. And the only door that's open is in the basement of a place he don't want to be. But what he doesn't know is that God has already shown some people from a distance, Lord have mercy, where he's going to be. If he would have picked the wrong house, then the provisions would have not showed up in the basement. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you? If he would have chose the wrong place, then what God was going to provide for them would have never got to them. So it looks like you're in the basement, but you're really in the desired, destined place that God has chosen to bless you in. Oh my God. I'm gonna wrap this thing up. And so what you cannot do is deny your reality, because denial equals delay. If you want to close the gap between where you are and where you want to be, watch me now, you're going to have to deal with the facts as they are. Not as you wish them to be, but as they are. Now it's quiet. You was jumping and a shouting. Watch this. Okay. You have to have clarity. Clarity is the power of an honest perspective. You cannot go into your 2018 wishing things to get better. You gotta have a clarity of what it is and then decide. You don't hear what I'm saying. Then decide what you're gonna do. And in that decision-making process, you're gonna have to decide, watch me now, don't hurt me, get my car ready, y'all ain't saying that. You're gonna have to decide to actually trust God. Oh, you were shouting a second ago. Because when it starts going wrong and doors start getting shut in your face, you're gonna get frustrated. So if you start living in anxiety, what will happen is you'll stop looking. And when you stop looking, you won't even find the basement. You'll just be outside. You don't hear what I'm saying to you. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to keep looking, baby. You got to keep looking. So what? They told you no. Keep looking. So what? They turned you down. Keep looking. So what? They said you weren't going to make it. Keep trying. You don't hear what I'm saying. So what? Oh God. Watch this. Let me get off of this because y'all don't like it. Watch this. You want to show up to the place, but you don't want to be honest with your perspective. You want God to take you there so bad. Just as long as he don't deal with the stuff you do not want him to deal with. You're not going to get there until you deal with it. One time my wife, okay, I'm going to let y'all in on something. When I was younger, I hated being wrong. No, I'm using the word hate here. I could be dead wrong and convince you that I'm dead right. Am I lying about it? This man's been my friend for 30 years. Am I lying about it? No, I'm not. I could be absolutely dead wrong and leave convincing you that I'm dead right with a smile on my face. With a Grinch smirk. I hated being wrong. And we would drive, back then we would drive. I don't like driving nowhere now. But we would drive everywhere. Long distance trips. My wife loves to drive, loves long distance trips. I don't like it. And so we would drive. And because I had to drive, I got to get to where I need to go. Okay. And so because I got to get to where I need to go, I'm breaking all the laws. And then I'm fussing at everybody who was in my way. Please look at your neighbor and say, can you fix your halo? It's crooked on your horns. Because you know you are a horrible road rager. Guilty. And so we were in Ohio, and we drove to Ohio, and we want to drive back to Maryland. And my wife said, baby, in her wisdom, baby, let's just spend the night somewhere. Get up in the morning, eat, and then drive back home. I said, no, woman. I'm a man about minds. I can make it. Just go to sleep, don't worry about it. And I'm just a driving. And you roll the window down, try to get that air in your face, turn the music up. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, And we had drove about 3 hours. Now we're in the mountains. You know, you gotta go through the mountains. And, you know, Allegheny. So we're in the mountains. And I take some road somewhere. Don't know how I got on the road. And the car is sitting still in the middle of this road with a moose. I think it was a deer, but it was such a big deer that we thought it was a moose. And my wife go, "Where are we at?" I'm like, "We almost there." I'm sitting there telling her, "We almost there." She's like, "We're lost. We're not almost there. There's a moose in front of the car." And I realized I'm not going to talk my way out of this one. I am lost. I said, "Baby, we lost. You was right. I should have listened to you. You can't go into 2018 talking about I'm going to make it. You better say, God, I'm lost. Help me. Get out of here." Oh. The Bible says he came to seek and save that which is. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And the Bible says that they have the baby. And when they have the baby, Joseph's denial lifts up off of him. And his anxiety lifts up off of him because of all of the people that are coming to worship Jesus. Wise men come from the east. Shepherds come from the field. They don't just come to worship. They come to bring gifts. The gifts that they are bringing are related to Jesus' purpose. You don't hear what I'm saying. Because these would be the same items that he's going to need for his burial. And the same items that he's going to need for his resurrection. You have to understand when God takes you to the place. He takes you there so that you can understand that he that has begun a good work in you shall bring it to completion. I know the place looks like a basement, but there's still a blessing in the basement because the kingdom of God operates on this principle. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that in due time God can exalt you. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, "I don't mind going low. Because when I go low, he lifts me high." Oh God, who am I preaching to in here? I don't mind stepping in the basement. There's a blessing down there for me. The Bible says they have to wait 8 days. They wait 8 days and he is circumcised. Stay with me. He's circumcised on the 8th day. I could preach there, don't have time. And therefore, of the Jewish tradition and custom, he's cut, circumcised. He cannot have his name until he is circumcised. They know what he's going to be called, but they can't declare it until he's cut. You don't hear what I'm saying. They cannot declare his name until he is cut by the tradition that he needs to be cut by so that the rabbi can stand up and say, "What is his name?" And they can say, "His name is Jesus." Look at your neighbor and say, "His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus." The reason why they had to wait was because the rabbi had to come and inspect the child. And when he inspected the child, he would circumcise him, cut off his foreskin, and then lift up and bless him. And then when he would lift up and bless him, he would declare the name that was going to be given to him by his parents. Remember, you have to understand that they came to Mary and they said, "Mary, blessed and highly favored of the Lord are you." And when the angel came to her, she says that you are blessed among women. You shall bear a child. And she says, "How can this be? Because I know not a man." And the angel said, "It's going to be because of the power of the Holy Ghost." Look at your name and say, "Don't worry about how it's going to get done. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and he's going to empower you to do what he called you to do." Oh, slap somebody a high five and say, "Not by power, baby, nor by might,
but by the Spirit of the living God. You're going to walk into your purpose in 2018 by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I feel like preaching this thing in here. And the Bible says, she says, okay, well, be it unto me according to your word. She started buying in on the first day and started anticipating what God was going to do. And in about the 6 month, if you will, of Elizabeth's birth, the Bible says that she had to go and visit her cousin. And when she went to visit her cousin, the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. Because what I told you earlier, you're carrying something absolutely powerful. Why do you think the enemy has fought you so hard in the years that he has fought you in, hoping that you won't come in contact with somebody else's God-given purpose and spark a fire on the inside of them? Oh, God, touch your neighbor real quick and say, this touch is for the purpose that's on the inside of you. This touch is for the dream that's on the inside of you. This touch, you don't hear what I'm saying, it's for all the hell that you have gone through so that God refuels your purpose with this touch. I would be touching 2 and 3 and 4. I would be reaching out all over the place and say, refuel me, baby. Recharge me, baby. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in me. Do me a favor. Go get me another microphone. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. She goes and then visits Elizabeth. I'm getting there. And when she visits Elizabeth, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. And the Bible says, you don't even got to sit down. You can stand up on this one. And the Bible says that when the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb, that Mary started to sing a song. And she started to say, my soul does magnify the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, don't deny your reality. Just magnify the Lord. When you magnify something, you're not bringing it to a place of bigger scope. You're bringing it closer in proximity. Look at your neighbor and say, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. The reason she said, my soul does magnify the Lord, because what God is producing is so big, I can't wrap my head around it. Come on, people. Hello, 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 hello. Little louder, little louder, little louder, little louder, little louder, little louder. All right, all right. She said, my soul does magnify the Lord. What God is going to do for you in 2018, your soul is going to have to magnify the Lord. You can't do it alone. You don't hear what I'm saying. You need somebody to help you. That's why you look at your neighbor and say, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I want you to find somebody right now and say, what God is birthing in me is just as powerful as what he's birthing in you. You don't even want to talk to him. Oh, find somebody and say, what God is birthing in me is just as powerful as what God is birthing in you. So let's magnify the Lord together. Let's magnify the Lord together. Oh, I wish you'd find a praise partner right now and say, let's magnify the Lord together. Oh, you to go to praising God together and giving God glory for what he's going to do in your life. I want you to hook up
with two or three people that halfway look like they got purpose on the inside of them. Look, I listen to me. I know it sounds stupid. I know it probably don't feel right. I know that you didn't come for all this. Whatever excuse you got. Well, some people did, some people don't. I don't care why you came. I'm trying to tell you. There is a release of purpose and destiny in this prophetic moment that is going to close the gap between where you are and where you want to be. God is moving you from the nowhere between two somewheres, and you are closer than you think. You are closer than you think. I'm gonna say it again. You are closer. Oh God, hear me prophetically. Y'all, please fix my sound. Just please, please, please. Is this working? Talk to me. All right, cut this one off. All right, thank you. You're closer than you think. I'm saying that because the enemy will convince you that you are so far away. Oh God, somebody is in this room and you can't take one more closed door. Listen to me. Don't you get frustrated by the closed door. And don't be so proud that you're not willing to go into the basement. Every new level starts at entry level. Oh, I just said a thing. Y'all didn't hear me. So don't be too high of a person to enter into a new level on a low level. The low level is higher than the level you were on previously. I didn't know it was going to be like this. It's better than where you were. I need you to know that what you are about to do is not emotional. Listen to me. I don't care if it's sober, and I don't even care. I don't care how it falls or how it drops. I become so confident in what God is calling me to do. This is not emotion. This is not hype. This is not so you think I'm a good preacher. This is a prophetic kairos moment. Kairos means opportune time. The kingdom of God operates on kairos, not chronos. Oh, God. So the success sequence for you are ordered steps, not sequential steps. God can rearrange the order however he wants to arrange the order. He can make all things work together for your good. And this is what I see God doing in the spirit. I wish I had somebody get here moving and navigating and your life. So, Pastor, why do I got to hold somebody's hand because I'm tired? And why do I got to do this? Because I said so. You believe the prophet, you receive on the level of the prophet. There is a praise that has the power to release your purpose and close the gap
between where you are and where God destined you to be. Did you hear what I said? So when you go to praising God with your partner or partners or group or whole row in the balcony, wherever you are, don't matter. I don't care if you're an usher or you're a greeter. Get in on this one. I don't care if y'all mad at me in the sound booth because I fussed at you. You better still dance. There is a prophetic release of purpose and power that closes the gap between where you are and where you want to be. Even if you're watching on Facebook Live, pull your car over. You shouldn't be watching it while you're driving anyway. If you're in your living room, wherever you are, pull over, move the coffee table, and take 30 seconds and give God glory for what he's about to do. On the count of three, that prophetic power is going to be released in your life as you join hands with somebody and praise. Pastor, why can't I do it alone? Because you can't magnify alone. You don't hear what I'm saying. You have to have somebody with you in connection, because where any two or three of you are gathered together in his name, God shows up in the midst of you. On three, you go to praising God for your purpose and what God's going to unlock and unleash in 2018, and you give him glory. One, two, three, give God praise all over this church. Give God praise all over this show. Praise him for your purpose. Praise him for your destiny. Praise him. 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 Oh, give him glory. Give him glory like you walked in it. Give him glory like you stepped in it. 2018. Impact, 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 impact. Come on, praise him. Come on, give him glory. 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 Come on, give him. My soul does magnify the Lord. Oh. Yeah. Come on, dance out of the disappointment. Dance out of the discouragement. Dance out of the defeated mindset. Oh, it's here. You better hear what I'm saying. I said, baby, it's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. Your best year ever. 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 That's three people who say your best year ever. 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 God, I feel this thing in my spirit. Your best year ever. Jesus. Jesus was his name because Jesus is the place. I don't care how lost you are. I don't care how difficult it is. Jesus is the place. And as long as you have the ability to call upon the name of Jesus, it is a name that is above every name that is named, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. Slap your neighbor and say, I got the power to call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong power. The righteous can run in and be saved. This is going to be your best year ever. And when the doors shut, shout Jesus. And when they tell you no, shout Jesus. And when crisis come, shout Jesus. Your best year. Oh. Your best year ever. Listen to me. Your best year ever. Come on, there's a wave of glory right there. Come on, come on, there's a wave of glory. Somebody needs to dance out of the disappointment and dance out of the discouragement and dance out of your oppression and dance out of your depression. Oh, because you are about to walk into your best year. Take off the spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of prayer. Lift those hands all over this room. This is the year of impact. You cannot be afraid to collide with your destiny. Oh, I hear you. I hear you, Holy Ghost. You're coming in hot. You're coming in hot. 2018, you're coming in hot. That's why he gave you the power of the name Jesus. So when anxiety comes, Jesus. Pressure comes, Jesus. Fear comes, Jesus. That's my place. I'm covered in him. I'm safe in him. I'm secure in him. My purpose is in him. In him I live and move and have my being. It's my place. So everything you try to do outside of your place, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Lift those hands. May the blessing of the Lord God be upon you. His face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you and your family. Give you peace. May he surround you with unprecedented favor, like a shield. May he assign his angels to cover you. May his blood protect you from now until eternity, because today you say hello to the rest of your life. Yeah. Welcome to the best year ever. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Come on. Hug two or three people.